Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where
prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Digital identities, DIDs, or self-sovereign identities, SSIs, is a really interesting field that blockchain is really good for. And in this interview, I have Alison Fromm joining me to talk about Proofspace, a actual implementation of Atala Prism. So if you're wondering what on earth is going on with Atala Prism, what projects are building with it, this is one of them. And Alison joins me to talk all about what they're doing there. She's joined the team and I'm really excited to actually see a fully fledged implementation of Atala Prism out in the wild and how it's being used. So let's get into this interview. Yeah, gotta do it like that. You've been listening to the Learn Cardano podcast. Gotta get it hype. Crypto is what we like, but this is not investment or financial advice. Gotta do your research, cause it's risky. We know it is. This show is educational and it's informative. Crypto's the future, really, it ain't no debate. I have Alison Fromm joining me on this episode to talk about a unique SSI solution. Yes, that's right. And we're going to learn a little bit more about this and how it can actually be applied to various blockchain situations and solutions. So, Alison, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Peter. I'm really excited to talk about SSI.
Now, I've seen you around the Cardano community for quite a while, but I'd love to learn a little bit more about your background, how you're involved in this space, and what exactly you get up to.
Sure. Yeah, thanks. Well, I came to blockchain via traditional finance. So I worked in a couple of different finance and accounting roles, and then I was a corporate banker in the US for many years, managing actually a $1 billion credit portfolio with corporate clients. And along the way,
no stress.
Yeah, right. along the way, I got introduced to Bitcoin. I love to tell this story. My husband is a software engineer and he wanted to buy Bitcoin. And I said, oh my gosh, no, don't do it. This was in 2012. You're going to lose all our money in this internet scam. He bought a little bit, not a life-changing amount. Amazingly, our marriage survived the worst investment advice I've ever given. So I never give anyone any investment advice about anything, but particularly cryptocurrency. Fast forward to 2017, Bitcoin and then Ethereum was on the front page of the Wall Street Journal every other day. My clients, CFOs, business owners were asking me, what is this Bitcoin thing? And so because I had this amazing tutor in my husband, I developed a real expertise really trying to understand the technology, but then be able to talk about it concisely and quickly with non-technical people in the financial world and really recognize the power and the potential of the technology, leaving aside my initial skepticism that it was all a scam. So then life just took us to Switzerland. My husband got a job that moved us to Zug, to the crypto valley where I live now. And given my anyway increasing interest in blockchain, it was a perfect opportunity to pivot. And shortly after I moved here, I got introduced to the Cardano Foundation. And actually, I was meeting someone for the first time. And when I meet, you know, a potential networking business contact, I like to do a little bit of research on them and their organization. And it usually takes me maybe an hour or two. I started researching Cardano in preparation for that interview, and I have basically never stopped researching Cardano. There's just so much to learn.
That's brilliant.
Yeah. But I watched Charles's whiteboard video, and I was hooked. And so I, you know, went down the proverbial rabbit hole and really got involved with the Cardano community and wanted to learn all I could about staking because the ITN was in progress then, and the Shelley era went live a few months after I joined the community. And I got involved in Catalyst really early on as well, which was a really nice intersection of the passion that I was developing for blockchain and my background in finance. And then I will be forever grateful. I learned a lot from Lars Brunez, the director of education at IOG, along the way. He's always very patient with my questions, and he really encouraged me to take the Prism Pioneers class, which was another one of those life-changing moments for me, because through that class, I started to learn about self-sovereign identity, decentralized identity, what it really is. I also realized there was absolutely no chance I was ever going to do any coding of any kind, but especially not in the SSI yep. world. And through that class and through my work in Catalyst, I came up with an idea for a project that I wanted to do in Catalyst to bring SSI to the actual Catalyst process. And I can talk more about that. But the number of the tools that I needed to make that project come to life and the amount of infrastructure that's required to actually implement SSI was just overwhelmingly daunting to me. I realized, I mean, number one, I was never going to code anything, but it was beyond one person's or even a team's ability to quickly build the tools that I needed to do that project. So again, through the magic of Catalyst, I got introduced to ProofSpace. And what ProofSpace does is exactly that. It provides all of the tools that anyone would need to get started with an SSI project and then to scale it to whatever size and scope it needs to be, because their technology is amazingly, and now I can say our technology is amazingly flexible and extensible and scalable. So for almost a year, I worked with ProofSpace as a customer and partner and on this Catalyst project, and just really was incredibly impressed with the team and the platform and the leadership. And so when I had the opportunity to join the company last fall as chief commercial officer, I was thrilled. So now I work for ProofSpace full time. Yep. We are very proud to be the first company that is using Cardano's SSI technology, which is Atala Prism. So we're the first to be live on mainnet, and we're really proud to make it easy to get started using self-sovereign identity with the Cardano blockchain.
Wow. Okay. Now that's quite an introduction. That is absolutely amazing. So I love how that all just came together and just tied in, the synchronicity between it all. Just all makes sense. And I had absolutely no idea that ProofSpace was built on Atala Prism,
yeah.
Which is brilliant, because I'm so out of the loop with that side of the ecosystem. I don't know what's being built, what's been implemented, and where it's at the moment. So it's really cool to actually hear that ProofSpace is based on it.
Yeah.
So can we talk a little bit more about it and exactly how it all works?
Yeah. So actually, I would say self-sovereign identity, first of all, that term is awful. It's not really easy to understand. So I think increasingly maybe yeah. we're calling it decentralized identity, but it is not well understood. And a lot of people think it's just this magic bullet to make KYC go away and you never need to worry about regulatory compliance again because you have decentralized identity, and it is unfortunately not. But it does make life...
Okay, that was my understanding, so yeah.
Yeah, no, unfortunately not. But it does make our lives on the internet better, because the end result is that individual people have more control and power over their data and can consent to when and how it's shared and reuse it in ways that make our lives easier. So let me explain how that works. In the real world, when we talk about identity, and actually I have to pause and say, when I talk about identity in this context, I mean something very specific. Identity is a huge, huge topic of conversation. And I don't mean to imply that all yeah. identity can be boiled down into what I'm going to talk about. But for our purposes, taking a yeah. very narrow view of identity, your identity is an identifier. So it's your name, it's your fingerprint, it's your face, plus a series of credentials that are issued to an identifier. So you have a driver's license, it has your name on it. You have a university diploma issued to your name. You have a passport, it has your signature on it and maybe your fingerprint. Those are all credentials that make up your identity, and they're tied to an identifier. But when you go online, that real world method of providing an identifier doesn't work anymore. Anyone can say they have a name. You know, signatures can be faked yeah. very easily. And so we have this huge problem on the internet that, you know, it's that famous cartoon. No one knows you're a dog on the internet. So the Web 2 world developed this solution where a person creates an account, and their account is their name and a password. But that account is owned by the company. It's owned by Google. It's owned by Facebook. It's owned by Riverside. You have an account at Riverside that allows us to have this wonderful conversation. And the company owns all of the data that you provide. They control the account. They set the terms of agreement. You generally can't reuse your credentials to log into different places. And when you can, it's because you're giving companies like Google, you know, you have that log into this account using your Google account, then you're giving them even more power to track you and control you and learn more about your data in order to monetize it for their benefit and sell you advertising. So we've lost control over our data. We've lost our privacy. We give it up because for ease of use of using the internet. So decentralized identity is a way to replicate the real world identity, which is inherently decentralized. Nobody gave me my fingerprint. Nobody controls that other than me. I mean, my face is my own. Those identifiers are inherently decentralized and locally controlled and owned by me. So with software, whether it's Atala Prism, which is of course our favorite example in the Cardano community, or there are lots of other ones out there, Atala Prism allows a person to create basically a cryptographic fingerprint. So you use the Prism software and you create a decentralized identifier. So it's just a number, but it's unique to you and it's controlled by you through a private public key, like a wallet. But it's unique to you and your private key is secret. And so you have the ability to create your own decentralized identifier. And then issuers of credentials, so it can be big like a national government issuing a driver's license, or it can be a website issuing a credential that lets you log in. Any issuer of a credential can issue what's called a verifiable credential. So this is like a real world credential, but it's digital and it's issued to your decentralized identifier. And so this allows you to have an identity online, but that's controlled by you and is private, and it is a peer-to-peer relationship between the holder of the credential and the issuer of the credential. So then why do we need, where does the blockchain come in? What's the point of having the blockchain? Because in the best practices of the decentralized identity or the self-sovereign identity world, the decentralized identifier is created locally. So you use that software and you create it on your phone, and you have the private and public key on your phone, and you give your decentralized identifier only to the issuer of a credential. And so best practice from the decentralized identity industry in terms of being privacy preserving is that those individuals never record their decentralized identifier onto a blockchain. So the issuer of a credential, now this is a public entity that's going to be publicly issuing credentials, that issuer also has a decentralized identifier that they create in the same way, but they put their decentralized identifier onto the blockchain, Cardano, public blockchain, so that anybody can find it. So it's a record of, I'm an issuer, and this is my identifier as an issuer. Then when the issuer issues a credential, they take all of the data attributes that are in that credential, the issuer does, and runs them through a hashing algorithm. And basically that, in non-mathematical terms, me being not a mathematician, spits out a hash or a key to the credential. And that key is recorded on the Cardano blockchain. So now when I get my, when I get my credential data, I hold it in my wallet, but I can present it to a verifier. Without the data that's in my credential, that key on the blockchain is useless. It's not my credential data encrypted. It is only the key to the data, and it's useless unless I choose to present the credential to somebody. And then the verifier takes the credential data, runs the same hash, and checks against the blockchain, and they can confirm, yes, the data I provided is accurate. It hasn't been tampered with. I haven't, you know, said that I got all A's in my course when actually I got all C's. And they can check that it was issued by the issuer that I am claiming it's issued by, because the issuer's identifier is also recorded on the blockchain. So this enables me to have a digital credential that I hold and control in my wallet, and I can reuse and share in a way that's verifiable. So the decentralized identity industry, to sum up, has three parties: the issuer of a credential, the holder of a credential, and the verifier of a credential. And the blockchain is used as a record so that the decentralized information that's owned and controlled by the holder of the credential can be presented and verified by an independent third party. And the issuer and verifier don't have to trust each other or use a central database. The blockchain is used as a trusted record of data, but that only matters when the person chooses to share their credential with somebody else.
Gotcha. Okay. So that bit of information, let's say it's my university records,
right,
encrypted on the blockchain. No one can see that data because it's completely encrypted.
It's not even
Has the hash.
Yeah, it's not even encrypted data. It's the hash of your university records.
Yep. The hash of it. An employer would ask to verify that, and then I can authorize that via my wallet or mechanism that I do myself.
Exactly.
To the university, there's the data on the blockchain.
Exactly.
I've authorized you have a look at it, and they can look at it.
Exactly. That's exactly
cool.
Right.
Cool. Okay. All right. Brilliant. So that's absolutely amazing to get a really good understanding of how that mechanics and how that all works. And is that exactly how ProofSpace has implemented it for users to use?
Yeah. Thank you for that question. That's a great question. So what ProofSpace has done is Atala Prism is basically an SDK. So this is what I discovered when I wanted to do my first project in Catalyst. And if you want to use it, you've got to build all the user interfaces to make that come to life. And so what ProofSpace has done is build a really robust, user-friendly platform that provides a web-based dashboard where anyone who wants to issue a credential can use a point-and-click series of tools to design the credential with whatever attributes they want. They can issue that credential to a holder's wallet, and ProofSpace has an app that's an identity wallet. And then the same dashboard can be used by a verifier to verify credentials. And we, ProofSpace, take care of the integration with Atala Prism. So we provide all of the capabilities that Atala Prism has created, and connect with the node that writes those transactions to the Cardano blockchain. So the person with the use case or the need for decentralized identity and verifiable credentials doesn't have to worry about any of the coding or the tooling or the blockchain pieces of it. All they need to do is use the web dashboard to create the credential that they want and issue it to their users who hold it in the ProofSpace identity wallet. So it makes it super easy.
Okay. So That's really good to understand. Now, are there many people using it at the moment? Are there many companies using this? Like, are there tangible examples that we can look at?
Yes. Well, and actually, I don't know if it was by chance or because it is such a good use case, but university records is a hugely growing industry for decentralized identity and verifiable credentials for a couple of reasons. One is that I just saw a statistic that something like 40% or maybe even more of that of credentials that are on LinkedIn are fake. And so
you can just make them up.
Yeah, right, exactly. You can say whatever you want.
Yeah.
and as people move around in their jobs and their careers, the ability to provide credentials that are verifiable is hugely important. So the education credentials for employment is a big industry where we're seeing a lot of traction. And we're involved with a project with the New Hampshire Technical Institute in the US where they are integrating ProofSpace into all of their credential issuance process across their campus. And another reason that's driving that industry is that the pace of technological change and a lot of other factors, education going online, means that schools can no longer just issue a degree and call it good. That's the end of it. Employers and even other schools need to know well, what are the courses? What are the skills? What are the learning outcomes that this student learned in their degree? And then later in life and from multiple different places, maybe someone took some programming courses from IOG, they learned Prism or they learned Plutus. It would be great if we could have one record that I hold that is a list of all of the credentials that I've accumulated from all of these different places, but I could show it to a, you know, a potential employer, or, you know, you could verify my credentials before I did the podcast and see that actually, yes, those were legitimate credentials issued by the people that, that I said they were. But I have a lifelong learning record stored myself in my identity wallet. And then you could think of medical records as another great one, especially in this modern world where people are mobile, being able to collect credentials from various medical institutions, but hold those all locally and then be able to share them, but in a way that was verifiable, gives the user control over their data in a really revolutionary way. But there are also really simple use cases too. So I started off by talking about how today we log on to the internet with a username and a password, and then we've got to keep track of all these hundreds of passwords. I think the industry will move away from that username password login model and will move to a decentralized identity model where each website could issue me a verifiable credential the first time I sign up for an account, and I hold that credential in my identity wallet. And then every time I log into that website, I present my credential and I don't have to enter my account and my password anymore. And an added benefit is that I could have the same identity wallet controlled by the same master key, but provide a different DID to every website that I interact with. So there would be no way to trace my behavior across the internet, because it would be just like you have a, you know, a Eternal wallet, a Cardano wallet, and you have multiple different addresses that are all controlled by the same key. You can do that with DIDs. So I could give a different DID to every website. They could issue me a credential. I would hold all the same credentials in my wallet, but then I could seamlessly log into multiple different websites. And one of the...
Very interesting. Yep.
One of the, just to bring it back to Catalyst in the Cardano ecosystem, we're looking at a lot of interesting potential use cases there, where if you think about the need for, what are they called now? Proposal assessors. We changed names from community advisors to proposal assessors.
Yeah.
Proposal assessors should remain anonymous, but it would be useful to know things about that proposal assessor's credentials and background. And so verifiable credentials provides a really interesting way to give you both. The proposal assessor could remain anonymous, but they could demonstrate that they have a credential attesting to various things, you know, Plutus developer or financial expert or tax expert or yeah, whatever, but maintain that anonymity.
Okay. We also had an issue in the last round of Catalyst where there were a lot of bot reviewers as well. I'm assuming this would help with a lot of that to filter out the fake accounts and filter out and actually verify that they're real people behind the process.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the simplest way is that if you have to have an identity wallet to participate, that identity wallet lives in a phone. And at least as of today, you can't have multiple identity wallets on the same phone. So you would have to be a one phone per account, and that would dramatically limit the number of bots. But that's a really rudimentary way of doing it. There, you could have a proof of life credential that could be issued at some point in the process that, again, the person could reuse in an anonymous way. But the account would be able to prove that at some point a trusted authority had ascertained that it was a real person behind the account. So yes, fighting the bots is a great use case.
It's always a battle. Now, there's a couple of things I'd like to ask here. So one, how I would use it in my own Learn Cardano website, but then also how these are IDs verified by a third party. Like, how do we actually get to know that it was me and I'm not faking my ID? And how is that part verified? So first off, let's talk about the Learn Cardano site on the website, because you reached out on Twitter. Some people, I can't remember who it was, but they were talking about who's building learn to earn platforms on Cardano at the moment. I said, yep, well, we are. You can log in and you can earn certain tokens as you go through and do courses on the platform. And I had the problem where, you know, I could sign up multiple times, do the course multiple times, and then earn an excess amount, which you really shouldn't have. And this SSI, this DID, would actually help reduce that. And I was going to use something like Discord or Twitter connectivity to the account as well. So once you log in with your wallet, your Cardano native wallet, you synchronize your Discord account, whatever, and then that will try and prove that it's a one-person account. But the proof space would probably do that as well, but I don't know how that would integrate into that kind of solution.
Yeah, so that's a great question. And actually, it's connected to the first question you asked, how do I know who it is that is controlling the DID? And actually, let me back up even further. The first reason that I reached out to you is because of the education use case, because issuing credentials when you finish a course is a really powerful way to get started using verifiable credentials. So if you issued a credential from Learn to Earn every time somebody completed a particular module, that would be a credential the person could then hold. And for example, they could use that in other places in the Cardano ecosystem. And Catalyst is the best example of that. They could, you know, they could put it on their proposal if they were a proposal writer to say that, you know, I completed this course and you can verify it because I have this verifiable credential. Or if we get to the point where proposal assessors can share credentials anonymously, a Learn to Earn credential could be something that is valuable in that place. But getting to the question, so let's talk about how do I know who's behind the decentralized identifier? Because like I said, that's a big misconception of SSI, but it's also where there's real power in the technology. And the disappointing answer is you never get away from trust. The whole credential ecosystem depends on the fact that a trusted authority issues the credential. And so what the revolution of SSI is that I hold that credential and I can present it and it can be verified. But the verifier still has to trust the issuer of the credential. So if I give you a certificate issued by my brother that says I'm a whiz in Python development, maybe that doesn't mean a whole lot because who knows who my brother is and why would you trust his ability to assess my Python coding skills, which admittedly are zero anyway. But if I have a credential that's issued by, the MIT saying that I've completed a degree in computer science, now that's something you would trust and that's a realistic piece of information. So we're seeing verifiable credentials used to verify identity in a couple of different ways. So you mentioned Discord or what was the other social network? You mentioned Twitter maybe.
Oh, Twitter.
Yeah. So what Proofspace is developing a capability called social stamps, where a person could go to Proofspace, provide their Twitter handle, we'll do that simple 2FA check, we'll check that they actually control that Twitter handle, and we'll issue them a credential attesting to that fact. Now, when the person comes to do something at Learn to Earn, they can present their verifiable credentials showing that they control this particular Twitter handle, and here's the if that you can't get away from. If you trust Proofspace's process to have correctly issued that credential, then you can trust that the user does in fact control that Twitter handle and you can rely on that information. And the huge benefit for the ecosystem is that then the holder of the credential doesn't have to go through that process every single time they interact with somebody who wants to verify something about their identity. They can do it once, and then they hold a credential that they can reuse multiple times. And it's a much better user experience. And it really powers the ecosystem to scale much more rapidly and to provide smoother experience. But it doesn't get away from the fact that you have to trust the issuer of the credential. And we could take that even farther. So when you talk about KYC, we can, as Proofspace, we have an integration with a Web2 version of document authentication software. It's on FIDO. So it's the one, if you've signed up for a financial institution platform, you've probably had to provide your passport and a selfie or do the liveness check or whatever. And they say, yep, you're good. So we can do that and we can issue a credential attesting to the fact that you've done this check and you've showed your documents to us through OnFIDO and give you a credential that you can then present to somebody else. And one of the tricks of self-sovereign identity, decentralized identity, is that the holder of the credential can selectively disclose what they provide. So maybe I have a credential that has every piece of information from my passport, but you just need to know that I'm over 21 and not from some part of the world where regulatory reasons prohibit you from doing business.
Yep.
So I could provide you with just those two pieces of information from my credential, and that might be all you need to know to continue to do business with me. So you don't have to do the whole check again, and you don't need to store the data or see the data or even have access to the data. I can just present the pieces of my credential that are relevant to you. But it doesn't get away from the fact that you still have to trust somehow the issuer of the credential.
Yep. Okay. Totally understand. And I do like that approach, because then my own website that I've developed or anyone else doesn't need to hold that data at all about the customer. All I want to know is that the customer's coming in, they're doing their the course, whatever it is, finalizing that course and then moving on. I don't need any of the headaches around holding all that data, having a data breach of some sort, and then having legal action around it. So if it's all completely anonymized and it's just verified by a third party, great, fantastic.
Exactly.
And all controlled by that third party user as well. So that's really cool.
Exactly. That's exactly the idea. And then the person can reuse that credential. They don't have to do it again.
Yep. Now, is there a cost behind, there must be a cost behind this, like to get the KYC, you know, and all that, but who pays for it? Does the user pay for it? Does the verifier, the issuer, like it, all of them?
Not the user. So ProofSpace's business model is peer-to-peer. So, peer-to-peer, business-to-business. So we provide a subscription model for issuers and verifiers of the dashboard, where they basically pay per month based on number of interactions, which we describe as an exchange of credentials. So basically transactions per month. It's a SaaS model where that gets the issuer and the verifier access to use the dashboard. And then we provide consulting and support and implementation and solution design separately. But the app for the user to hold is their, the app for the identity wallet is free. There's no charge for that.
Okay. Absolutely brilliant. That's really good to know. So me as a website owner wanting to integrate this in, there obviously will be a charge. Is it much? I'm just looking at the website at the moment trying to work out the pricing around this. It looks like there's a flat fee as well.
If you look at the – yeah, are you looking at the pricing tab? So the lowest package, we just charge a flat fee per month up to 1,000 interactions. And then the next tier up is based on a flat fee plus the interaction volumes. But it's 100 something per month.
No, it's not going to break the bank really. So it's a pretty straightforward process. Okay, that's really good to know. So a lot of businesses could take advantage of this and scale up their SSI solutions for their website and make it a seamless user experience in the decentralized way, which is very, very exciting.
Exactly. And the more, it's a true economies of scale. The more people that are using the credentials, the more opportunity there is for reuse, the more valuable they become. And I should mention too, one of the features ProofSpace provides is that we have a marketplace or a discovery layer where using the app, a person can see which other companies might take advantage of the credentials that they're already holding. And so the early stages, but we anticipate that the ecosystem will really grow and allow people to reuse their credentials in lots of places.
Okay. Is there anything else really important that we need to know about ProofSpace or SSIs or DIDs in general?
You've asked such good questions. I think I've covered I've covered the main points.
I think we have too.
Yeah, I would stress that ProofSpace makes it easy to get started. If somebody wants to run a proof of concept to see to test out what the technology is like, or if they have a huge ecosystem that they want to develop, the proof-based tools make it easy.
All right, brilliant. I'll make sure I'll grab all those links, the getting started guides and everything else around it. I'll put it in the show notes so that people can dig into it. And we can find out more information where? Where's the best place to contact you guys?
Proofspace.id.
Okay, Alison, thank you so much for joining me on this and talking all about Proofspace and what digital identities can really do for the ecosystem in general.
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed the conversation.
Like always, links and references, everything that you need are in the show notes down below. You can get to the website, learncardano.io, where you can find out more information and listen to all of our other podcast episodes. You can listen to on Spotify, anywhere you listen to your audio podcasts, it's all there, and of course on the YouTube channel as well. Now, if you really enjoyed this content, please consider giving me a thumbs up, click subscribe, click the notification bell. If you're listening to it on an audio podcast network, there's always a like button, something there that you can interact with to support the channel. It's really, really appreciated. But until next time, I'll see you in the next video. Yeah, gotta do it like that. You've been listening to the Learn Cardano podcast. Gotta get it hype. Crypto is what we like, but this is not investment or financial advice. Gotta do your research, cause it's risky. We know it is. This show is educational and it's informative. Crypto's the future, really, it ain't no debate.